Blog Talk Radio.
Well, if you are on the left, you got to be unhappy with this tranny ban. And, you know, you heard Kathy, but and I wonder what Frankie thinks. I mean, do we have to even ask that? But, all right, what's the argument for keeping the trans people in the military? Is the more diversity you have, the better service that you have. And number one, number two, the trans issue is a genuine, it's a real phenomenon. There are people, there's such a thing as trans. Now, do you agree with that? Let me ask you this. Do you believe in being born in the wrong body? Or on the other hand, and I think this is another part some of the thoughts is it doesn't really matter if you're born in the wrong body, that people have a right to self-destiny when it comes to their gender. Do you believe that? And along those thoughts, do you believe that the government should pay for this if a person decides, hey, I'm sick of being a man, it's time to be a woman? Should Uncle Sam? Now, how about this? Here's the third option. Somebody goes, they're convinced through some life experience that they're really a woman born in a man's body, and then they get the so-called sex change. What if they're in the military and they realize, hey, this is a mistake? You know, I don't like sitting down when I go, you know, to the bathroom, whatever. And I want back into my gender. Should the military pay for that too? Just curious. Here's Whoopi Goldberg and her friends at The View.
Like, do you remember doing the during the campaign when the new guy was waving the flag for LGBTQ rights on the campaign trail?
Yes. Yes, I remember that.
Well, it's kind of another promise broken, because in a series of tweets this morning, he declared that transgender individuals are banned from serving in any capacity in the U.S. military because the military can't be, and I quote, burdened with the tremendous medical cost and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Today is also the 69th anniversary when President Truman desegregated the military by executive order. So this is almost to the letter, with the exception of medical. Mm-hmm. It's the same BS that kept the military segregated. And don't forget, women have been in the military. So if you're worried about transgender people in the military, you're worried about women in the military, is it because this is a person who's never been in the military and doesn't understand that people in the military are not thinking about sex? They're actually thinking about fighting when stuff comes up.
Yeah, but to get Trump had bone spurs. He couldn't serve.
Yeah. Did he get five deferments?
Limbaugh had some kind of a boil on his behind. They all have something.
This conversation, I remember, happened when we were talking about women being able to fight in combat as well, and became a very contentious conversation. And my instinct is always to say, I want the person, this is the military, I want the strongest, I want the best. I don't care if that's a woman, a man, a transgender person. If you can fit the requirements and you can defend and protect my nation, then I'm behind you. I support you.
All right, you can imagine what The View is going to say about this, but let me ask you this. If a person is in the military and they decide that they are going to, that they are trans, maybe they knew before the military, or maybe they didn't, they decide that they're trans, and they get, let's say a guy goes from the typical story, a guy wakes up one day and this is not who I really am, this is not my destiny, decides to go through the pain and suffering and the challenge of becoming a woman, and so he goes through the surgery. Now that person is gets done, and they're in the, let's say they're a you know, they're in a combat troop. They go through that surgery. Don't by definition they lose strength because they're transitioning from male to female. Don't they're on female hormones, therefore doesn't their muscle mass shrink? They lose testosterone. And don't they become physically weaker? You know, you might argue, Kelly, yeah, but they become mentally stronger, and that makes up for it. Well, does it? And you can turn around and argue, well, we've got females that are serving. What's the difference between a tranny and a female? About, you know, male to female. And, you know, I mean, obviously there's some differences, but does the surgery weaken your body in a way that is not talked about much other than that? 627, here's a little more. NBC in a froth, in a fury. They're attacking the NBC's, one of their favorite groups, the trannies, and they are up in arms. They're circling the wagons. Oh, my gosh. And as a matter of fact, I meant CBC, I guess. Canadian Broadcasting Network, they're also in a tizzy.
Clark is a transgender activist who served in the U.S. Marine Corps. She joins me now in studio. Thanks so much for coming in today.
This guy looks like John Candy in a wig, I got to tell you. Blonde hair.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, I want to get your impressions of this policy. How does this policy make you feel?
Well, I served for 8 years in the military in the United States, and it doesn't make me feel good. There's policy coming out on Twitter, I think, that surprised everybody, that just erases military service for so many people, and not only active duty service members, but veterans as well. And I think it's a very disturbing thing to talk about. And up until this time, transgender people have been serving in the military for decades, maybe not openly because they weren't allowed to, but at least as far as Obama went, trans people have been serving openly, and they are still doing so today. So it's kind of baffling what the motivation is around this.
What was your experience like? You were in the military for 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, I lied to get into the military because back then, when they asked if you were, they would ask if you were a homosexual, and they included trans people in that narrative. And so my answer was no, knowing that, you know, I was definitely, you know, would normally mark yes to that question. And so so it was criminalized then. And in fact, it was criminalized all the way up until Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. And so this is a huge step backward for me in terms of advancement of rights and LGBT rights, especially.
From the operational perspective, do you have concerns about this?
No, in fact, you know, Canadian military, as an example, has had trans people serving for a long time. So has the U.S. military. There's never been any issues that I'm aware of. And the RAND Corporation came out with it.
Well, all right. That's not even America. So, but the person is still upset. Here's Anderson Cooper. Now, remember, this is not banning gays in the military. It's banning trans. Someone who is either sees themselves as intersex or transitioning between male to female or female to male. Here's Anderson Cooper. And hold on just a second here. We still got John Candy in a wig talking about this. Hold on a second. Here we go.
There's a pronouncement he made on Twitter this morning. Quote, after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. Three tweets out of the blue. No official public announcement, no explanation of what will happen to the thousands of transgender troops currently serving in Afghanistan and elsewhere. Will they be kicked out? At the White House press briefing today, no answers to that question. Sarah Huckabee Sanders could not or would not answer questions about whether current service members will be removed.
The president has a lot of support for all Americans and certainly wants to protect all Americans at all times. The president's expressed concern since this Obama policy came into effect, but he's also voiced that this is a very expensive and disruptive policy. And based on consultation that he's had with his national security team, came to the conclusion that it erodes military readiness and unit cohesion, and made the decision based on that. The decision is based on a military decision. It's not meant to be anything more than that.
Now, at a White House event, an attempt to get some clarity from the president later went ignored.
How did you decide your policy on transgender people in the military?
She's very rude.
So all we have on this policy change that will have...
Excuse me. Trump said that the lady was who yelled it out was very rude.
Profoundly affect thousands of service members' lives are the president's three tweets, which mention the, quote, tremendous medical costs and disruption of having transgender service members in the military. What he means by disruption is really anybody's guess. But keeping them honest on the so-called tremendous medical costs, last year a study commissioned by the Defense Department estimated those costs to be between $2.4 and $8.4 million a year out of the nearly $50 billion the Defense Department spends annually on health care. Again, the high estimate is $8.4 million, and as the Washington Post points out, the military spends more than $41 million a year just on Viagra. That's according to analysis by the Military Times. As for Sarah Huckabee Sanders insists...
Well, so what do you think? They spend, what is it, $40 million on Viagra and only $8 million on sex changes? Have a little sympathy. We've got a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Good, David. How's it going?
Oh, it's an interesting morning, isn't it?
Indeed it is. So what's your feelings on the trans ban?
I think it's a good thing. And I guess Barack Obama now can't serve in the military anymore.
Ooh, ouch. That hurts.
That ought to get some people up in ire for Frankie.
All right. Go ahead.
In the Viagra, uh-huh. You know what? They're spending money on stupid stuff instead of helping these soldiers that we've been having coming back from the Middle East with blown off limbs, and they can't get wheelchairs, but we're spending money on cutting people's things off and Viagra and stuff like that. That money should be used to help our military get over their wounds from a horrible war that we've been in for.
Yeah, that's a good point. Get rid of Viagra, too, in other words. All right, David, anything else?
Yes. No, that's it for today.
Thank you. Have a good day. You too. Thanks. All right, friends. What do you think? Get rid of the transsexual surgery, the $8 million in tranny surgery and Viagra. Clean the whole thing up. I'll let you decide that. 6:34 on the button. We'll get some local news. We got, by the way, Ben Rossin coming on.
Say goodbye and say hello. Sure enough, good to see you, but it's time to go. Don't say yes, but please don't say no. I don't want to be lonely tonight.
All right, so we have shifting on from the tranny tragedy. We do have the issue of health care, Obamacare, and so they, I think, tried to do a repeal only, and that didn't work. And so do you feel that the failure to do anything about health care right now is shows a failure or a weakness of the party? Does it show that the party doesn't stand for what they claim, as some would say? Or, on the other hand, does it show the strength of the opposition to doing a health care fix light, if you see what I mean? Is it possible that it shows the strength of the beliefs that these people are willing to possibly even leave their lose their seat because they don't? And the answer to that, I guess, would be that a good repeal and replace is better than a great repeal in place if you can't get a great one. And I think people are confused. I am personally confused over what exactly the details are in terms of, you know, what's holding it back. What exactly is holding it back? I mean, and is it the moderates or is it the far right that is fighting against it? You know, I mean, it's gone on now for so long that it's a little bit hard to follow. And we do have a phone call, by the way. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Ralph Kelly.
Morning, Ralph.
Morning. Kelly, I have just one question.
Yes.
Where is all this extra money that's being paid to the insurance companies, and where's it going? My daughter's insurance premium was a little under $400, and when the Zebras Act went in, it went up to over $1,200 a month.
All right, so Obamacare quadrupled or tripled or quadrupled the cost of her health care, and what was the result in the service?
Her copayment was outrageous. She had to take my granddaughter to the hospital in Las Vegas, Nevada, and let me tell you, she couldn't believe it. Oh, and I don't know about the prescriptions, but there was no coverage for prescriptions. Where is all this money going?
Well, and I mean, so in theory, the money went to pay for people that didn't have health care. I mean, that one of the things that people needed to remember is, no matter what else you want to say about Obamacare, the design of it was to get people who were wealthier to pay for the health care for poor people. That was one of the key objectives. Okay, so that's where some of the money went.
$2,500 a year, you would keep your same doctor and so forth on five different locations, five different locations and occasions that he kept insisting how all this was going to help. I don't see how it's helped.
Well, I mean, obviously, Obamacare is a failure. You can be part of this retrograde left-wing movement that says it never failed, it couldn't fail, it's Obamacare. It's obviously a poorly designed and failed model for health care. Now the question is, what are we going to do about it? I mean, you know.
Well, it was voted on seven times prior when the mulatto was in there. They knew he would not sign it, so therefore they voted on it. Now you can't get it passed. What does that say about the integrity of these people that are voting against it?
I don't know. I mean, see, I can't stand here and trash them 100% because I don't know what happened. I don't know exactly why it failed. I mean, I know that there was failure at some point because it didn't go far enough. And then, you know, it wasn't a conservative enough, and then it failed at another point because of something else. I don't know. I gotta do some research on this and figure out exactly what the sticking point is. But if you can get a good healthcare peel and replace there, I don't see why you wouldn't go after that instead of waiting for perfection, which is impossible. You know, we gotta do something to help people.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, I've been paying on health insurance since about 1952 when I first got married.
Uh-huh.
There was no such problems. Well, I had it automatically debited from my paycheck for about 20 years, $225 a month for four dependents. And look at it now. And also, Kelly, I know I keep going back on this, but it's a fundamental problem. That's where it's at, and nobody wants to admit it.
What is?
I had a very good friend that worked for the Memorial.
What is, hey, Memorial was going define your problem here. What is the fundamental problem?
They could not collect from all these illegals. No such person, no such name. Memorial was hundreds of
okay.
millions in the red, and that's why they declared it was going back.
All right, okay. Okay, all right. Ago. All right, thanks for the call, Ralph. All right, so is that the problem with healthcare is that it has too many illegals on it? I mean, I don't really think that's the problem. That can't help it. If there's people in the healthcare system that shouldn't be in there by design, that's not going to help it. Maybe that's part of the group of people that the rich are paying for, the wealthier people are paying for. The fundamental problem with Obamacare is a design problem that would cause any healthcare problem to fail. You don't have to buy health insurance until you get sick. That's absurd. That's why I think Obama was a very passive aggressive person, in my opinion, and he was laughing his rear end off when it was passed because he knew it was an inverted picture, you know. But Obama was a very passive aggressive person because he was a very angry and anti-American person. That's my observation. We'll be right back with some weather.
Gonna
see me getting down on my knees. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. It's Harold again. I wanted to ask you a question, a legal question.
Yeah.
A debatable legal question.
Okay.
Can you define what the parameters are for a jury of your peers?
Oh boy. Let me make a note and address that, okay?
Okay, the only reason I'm saying that is because of the Tai Chan trials. Hello?
I'm right here.
Oh, okay. I always felt innocent when I was a little kid that my peers were basically who I hang out with, my social circles. You know, I mean, because I do have different social classes, you know, here, and you know, we're defined by different, you know, middle income or upper income or whatever. You know what I mean? And so I just wondering if it was fair that a jury of my peers would be my peers and not somebody else's, and then like the Tai Chan, I mean, we're not their peers, even though that.
Okay. JR. Jer, I gotta go. I gotta go, but I'll address that. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank.
And right now, the healthcare showdown. Step back over 9% of Republicans. Their latest plan to repeal and replace Obamacare defeated just hours after John McCain's dramatic return to Washington to buffer the debate. And President Trump continues to take.
If
Okay, it's 6:48, and we're talking healthcare. Look, here, let me just say from a practical point of view, one of the problems with the total mismanagement, misuse of the broadcast media. When I go and look for clips, I always try to find a clip that is short enough for the show to make sense playing on the show, number one. But number two, I can put my faith in, and there have been so much fake news. And so, I mean, it's not necessarily just made up totally fake news. It's the slant. It's the misuse of the broadcast media to try to destroy and discredit and destroy Trump. That I'm looking at these clips here, and I look at a clip from PBS, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, and I think, I don't know which of these clips is an accurate clip of the facts. Is it just set up to make the president look like a fool? And, you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC have done this stuff so much, it's a joke. But, I mean, on a practical level, it is kind of sad that I can't go in there and I can't have faith, for example, that CNN is going to put a clip on that really informs people. That's the tragedy of what we're going through right now. Now, here's a little bit in NBC News. Healthcare bill, Senate again rejects Obamacare repeal.
Republicans today scrambling to keep their Obamacare repeal effort alive under pressure from the White House to pass something they can call a win.
I hope so, ma'am. I'm not giving up. I will keep working through the process.
The plan to repeal Obamacare without replacing it going down this afternoon on the Senate floor.
Mr. Portman, no.
And last night, 9 Republicans helped sink the massive repeal and replace plan they've been negotiating for weeks.
This certainly won't be easy. Hardly anything in this process has been.
The president this morning attacking a senator in his own party, tweeting, Senator Lisa Murkowski of the great state of Alaska really let the Republicans and our country down yesterday. Too bad.
I am in a position where I'm not looking to a re-election until 2022. It's a long time away.
With both repeal and replace and repeal only out, now it's on to the skinny repeal, a set of smaller changes, including eliminating the individual and employer mandates to have insurance and repealing a tax on medical devices. But it's not clear that can pass.
Everybody needs to saddle up and put it all on the table and say, this is my position. We'll either pass it or we won't.
Watching anxiously, Americans like Stephen Chassin. The medical bills after he had a stroke totaled $75,000.
Hey, I'll put you on hold, okay?
I was in disbelief. I mean, it's such an absurd amount of money for me to fathom, you know, having to finance.
He relies on Medicaid.
As a reminder
to
our guests, expressions of approval or disapproval.
All right, I got too many things going on, but we do have a call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Calling in, and what's on your mind?
Well, Michael Savage has been talking about this for about 6 months now, citing some medical studies that the psychological problems of these transgender, they're still unhappy after they had the operation.
And the fact of the matter is, Fred, that more than 40% of people in this category attempt suicide.
Yeah, this is a counseling problem or something. The military cannot be bogged down right now with the psychological problems of these people.
Yeah, go ahead.
You hit the nail on the head a minute ago when you said Obama, totally right.
Well, I mean, it was obvious. The question is where his anti-Americanism came from. I mean, we're the country that sacrificed 600,000 or 700,000 of our young men to get rid of slavery. I mean, the idea that we don't take race issues seriously is one of the saddest things that I've ever heard. But when you that's what you have to sell, you're not going to give it up. There's more slaves today than there have ever been in the history of the human race.
Okay, well, thanks, Ken. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Fred. All right, so, yeah, and, I mean, slavery was a problem that was, it was an expression of, somehow, of Muslim theology. I mean, the slavery was allowed in the Quran. It's still allowed today. It has not been rescinded. It has not been abrogated. Whatever, it's not been canceled. So, but I mean, the issue there is, the issue right now is, I got one more set of ads. 6:53, be right back. All right, let's sum it up here because we got Ben Rosin and Rosin Report coming on. But trannies in the military, the argument, I guess, against it, Fred, saying there are people with psychological issues that need a psychological answer. You don't take someone who's confused about what species they are and allow them to be changed into an animal, into a dog or a cat in the same way. Although there are people out there that actually get surgery to appear like a cat, but or a snake, a crocodile. There's all kinds of things like that. So it's a psychological issue that you don't address by surgery if you care for other people. And then the healthcare, what's going to happen? Here's Schiff's riffs, the smell of gasoline, Mark Schiff. And I do apologize, the thing's playing at once, but my machine crashed. So here we go.
Hi there. This is Mark Schiff of Schiff's Riffs. And I want to talk to you about the smell of gas and driving in New York and Los Angeles. First of all, I absolutely love and adore the smell of gas. There's nothing better than the smell of gas. You give me a Texaco station with a 93-octane pump, and I could stand there for a month eating a pizza. I love everything about it. When I was a kid, my father would pull it through a gas station. I would jump out, you know, start pumping the car full of gas. I would just sniff it in. My father would be sitting in the car smoking a cigarette. We were seconds away from blowing up the entire station on ourselves, but I didn't care. I just loved the smell. I used to keep a Volkswagen running in my living room when I was a kid. That's how much I liked it. People go to botanical gardens, to heck with flowers. Gas, give me the smell of gas. When I read in the newspaper that somebody died in the car from asphyxiation, I know that they drifted off to one of the best smells the world has to offer. Now, I also had a car in New York. But you don't really drive in New York. You look for parking spaces. I had a car for 7 years. I had 4 miles on the car. I just went from one side of the street to the other side of the street and back again. It was incredible. In Los Angeles, you drive everywhere. You got to go for mail. You drive to the mailbox. My kids have never worn out a pair of shoes in their entire life. They never walk anywhere. Everywhere is in the car. When I was a kid, I'd get a pair of shoes. My mother would scream at me 3 days after I got the shoes. What the hell are you doing with these shoes? There's no heels left. You need new soles already. I used to walk 75 miles a day in these cars. I in these shoes. I also love traffic. I adore traffic. I'll get on the freeway at like 4 in the afternoon, 17 million cars on the 405 freeway. I'll get a 12-inch Subway sandwich. I'll sit there eating the thing with the air conditioner on, with the windows closed, listening to music. It's fantastic. And when I see an accident, they always tell you, when you see an accident, just keep going. Don't look at it. I'll go back around 2-3 times, look at this thing, create more traffic. Sometimes I'll ram right back into them again, get more paperwork going. That's just the way it is. Give me cars, give me gas, give me everything. Honk, 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 honk. I love it. This is Mark Schiff.
Mark Schiff and his riffs. And anyway, are we going to get health care? We got one more call. Man, it's cutting it close. Who's this?
You played of the lady senator from Alaska saying, I don't have to worry about this because I'm not going to run for election in 5 years.
Yeah.
That sums up the attitude of a
terrible
lot of politicians. To heck with you, I'm not up for election. I'll do what I want.
That's terrible. Good call, Chuck. You know what? That is sickening, isn't it? We'll take you out with some James Taylor, something that's not sickening. Be back after the break on the hour. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. It's good to be an American. Even at a dysfunctional day, I love it. Almost as good as sniffing gasoline. All right, so we talked about trannies. The rejection by Donald Trump of the trannies in the military. And we did have some support from Kathy for the trannies. But you're not kicking gays out of the military. So there may be some confusion there. And all right, so we got Ben just pulled up, but we've got to. I've actually got to. He'll be in here in just a second. But you know, is anything going to happen with the health care? The health care is just sitting there waiting to be taken care of. And so I think that they'll get something done. I mean, they have to get it done. And so there's a call in from Chuck, and Chuck says, look at this caller from Lisa Murkowski. Lisa Murkowski is an explanation, is an example of the problem. Lisa Murkowski's dad, Frank Murkowski, was a senator from Alaska for a long time. And I mean, I've spent a couple of years up in Alaska, so been around the state. I understand the politics up there. It tends to be conservative libertarian. And so Lisa Murkowski gets in, and she is the female daughter of a long-running and very popular senator. He decides to leave. She takes over, by definition, going to be more liberal. I mean, she's a feminist, you know? So she has, you know, and all of these political people, I think it is a mistake, although it is probably inevitable, that people stand up and say, my political beliefs are reality, you know? This is reality. I'm standing up and defending reality. I think that's a mistake. You have an opinion. It's the same mistake. You know, you defend your opinion. Give an argument for it. Don't get up there and get all infuriated or teary-eyed about somebody challenging your opinion. But that's the same mistake the left makes. The left makes this giant mistake when you can't disagree with them. If you disagree with them, you need to be driven out of popular society. It's called political correctness. I mean, it's a absolute laughingstock. But anyway, we'll get some healthcare changes, I have a feeling. But anyway, nice rain last night, and hopefully some more. I did get up in the middle of the night. I got in my car, I drove, and I watched the lightning for a while. You think that's crazy? Well, what? What are you here for, huh? Get up and go to your job every day and get a little bit fatter every year. You gotta live. You gotta, you know, take your chances. We got Ben Ross in here. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Kelly.
Do you agree with getting up in the middle of the night and driving out and watching lightning?
Absolutely. Although for me, it's more of a walking outside because I've got kids sleeping, so I can't go too far, but just a beautiful show last night.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I mean, I was awakened by this downpour and then the lightning, and I'm sitting there and they're seeing the kind of the reflection of the lightning off bouncing around the room and everything. And I thought, man, I should get up and actually watch the lightning. So that's what I did.
Well, for me, it was a little baby that wanted to eat that woke me up, but maybe the lightning and the storm woke her up to start with.
Probably. All right. So what's going on today?
You know, Kelly, so Tuesday at the County Commission meeting, we again had a battle over the transit district. This one was probably a more interesting one to me, and I'll have the video, Kelly, this morning posted on my Facebook page, Benjamin Rawson, County Commission District 3. And for those of you that don't have Facebook, you don't have to have Facebook to view it. You can just go there, and it'll my page is set up so that you can see it without even being a member of Facebook. I'd encourage you to take a look at it. But it was very telling. We had Sherry Thomas come up to the commission meeting and say say the ridership numbers keep increasing, which was exactly what I was hoping she said. Then I came up with different reports that they had presented for previous months that showed that ridership numbers kept increasing after the month was over. So for the month of April, Kelly, we've got one number here, and then we've got another number that's reported a week later that's 250 riders higher, even though April has been gone for 2 months.
Well, is that the same thing as getting dead people to vote in Chicago?
It's frustrating to me, Kelly, that this organization is allowed to make up any sort of new ridership numbers anytime they want, and that they're rewarded by the county commission by getting another $350,000, and it's wrong.
Well, what are we going to do about it?
Kelly, unfortunately, there's nothing that we can do at this point. The county commission voted 3-2 to go ahead and give them that additional funding. And so we'll have to.
Who was on your side? Who's on the right side?
Chair Solis voted with me.
So it's kind of reminds me a little bit of Obamacare. And now we're dealing with this total disaster. Falsified numbers used to sell a bad product.
That's absolutely right. And continuing to falsify numbers. And then saying, hey, look, the ridership numbers keep going up. Well, they keep going up if you keep making them up out of thin air. Problem we're dealing with the transit district.
Yeah, can you tell us where these commissioners tend to land in the, you know, the right or left, or obviously you're on the right and Chairman Solis is a little more on the right. What about John Vasquez?
Commissioner Vasquez is hard to read sometimes. He's voted with me originally on the bus system and then changed his mind on that. He's had some other situations where he voted both ways. We've had several different things on Tuesday's commission meeting where he voted with me and other times that he voted against me. But that's not always Republican-Democrat issue. For example, I'll give you one as the ATV ordinance change. So on Tuesday, we published or we voted to approve publishing an ATV ordinance change to allow ATVs to be on county roads.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Garrett and I co-sponsored that, which I think surprised a lot of people, but it's not a Republican-Democrat issue.
You sponsored what one more time?
To allow ATV vehicles on county roads.
Okay, all right. So for farmers.
For farmers.
Yeah.
And it helps them with being able to move around between their properties.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for our community. We're going to have an actual vote on that on August 22nd, but Commissioner Vasquez voted with me on that. Commissioner Solis and Gonzalez voted against me. So we'll have it's not that every vote is the same type of split, each issue being together.
All right. So you and Commissioner Garrett or former Commissioner Chair Garrett don't hate each other.
Well, there are things that we dislike about each other, but I wouldn't go so far as to hate each other.
Do you dislike his fake mustache that he's recently begun wearing?
You know, I dislike the fact that he's allowing this transit system to pretend to help people when it isn't. They can make up any ridership numbers they want to, and they continue to get rewarded, and he continues to back them up. And that really upsets me because we have people that come up to a commission meeting, and I've talked about this before, Kelly, people that send emails say, you know, Rawson hates poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to delve to, because I want accurate ridership numbers instead of the fake garbage that they keep making up from the transit district.
Folks, you hear that? It's fake garbage. It's fake numbers. It's the same as Obamacare. Don't fall for it. That's the message.
And if anyone wants to see evidence of that, like I said, I'll have those that video clip, including the documents, all up on my Facebook page here this morning, and you can take a look and see for yourself. But when the transit district sends out numbers and then sends out new numbers and then sends out new numbers and then sends out new numbers for the same old month that's been gone for 2 months, and every time the numbers increase, it makes it pretty hard to believe anything they come up with.
Ouch. Yeah, no doubt. And so, Garrett got up and gave a speech at NAACP. He had read something along the lines that it is the rural people that most need mass transit, not mass transit, but to transit systems. And he's sticking with that. And the numbers don't matter.
The numbers don't matter.
Fake news, fake numbers, fake outcomes.
You know, Kelly, you were talking, and I think it was Chuck that called in right before the break on the hour about people that aren't up for re-election and don't care what the people think. And, mm-hmm. and that's what I believe we're dealing with Commissioner Garrett, who's not up for re-election next year. And so it doesn't really matter to him.
Okay. And, well, it's disappointing. And when they're challenged about their fake numbers, what do they say?
Well, Sherry Thomas said, well, the earlier number was an estimate. So what that means is a number that they gave us 2 weeks ago for April, which has been gone for months, was an estimate. And now the new number that's 350 riders higher, that one you can believe, but you can't believe the one that was provided 2 weeks ago.
Any chance we can get a deer camera set up in some of these places that would actually, you know, go off when there's movement?
But they may not go off very often, Kelly.
That's the whole idea.
Oh, boy. But, you know, Kelly, this system is a very redundant system. For people that think that it's the only system out there, there are significant other systems.
Uber.
Well, or even
Lyft.
Park and Ride. New Mexico DOT runs Park and Ride down to El Paso uh-huh. every single day to the exact same stop that this system runs to. So this is not the only system that's out there for people to be able to use.
One of the problems of leftism is it tends to convince the people that believe in it that they're right and everybody else is wrong, and it would be pointless to have a discussion, debate.
That's absolutely right.
All right, folks, let's take a little break right here. We'll be right back. We've got Ben Rossin with more exciting show, the Rossin Report. The day that you wait for, can't sleep at night, Tuesday or Wednesday night. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Law School, Sam 1450-523-1450. 805-6180 to text, and we have the ever exciting Ben Ross, and we'll be right back. And a little bit of James Taylor. All right, so I'm here with Ben Rossin, and it's the Rossin Report, the moment of the week that you can't wait for. And Ben, what else are we going to talk about?
Kelly, a couple other things that came up in the commission meeting on Tuesday. One, I'm very, very excited about, Kelly. For the first time since I've been a county commissioner, we have a budget that was approved on Tuesday where recurring revenues meet recurring expenses.
Congratulations.
And that may not sound huge to all the listeners out there, but this is something I've been fighting for 4 years. And finally, we have a budget where we actually have revenues matching expenses, which I believe is the only way you should be having a budget. And so I'm very pleased to see that. That's something that I fought hard for. We didn't get out of that commission meeting until close to 6 o'clock at night for a meeting that started at 9:00. And part of that was arguing over the budget, and I was grateful to get other commissioners' support. I got three other commissioners' support, all but Commissioner Billy Garrett agreed to have a balanced budget, but a revenue where revenue and expenses are matching each other.
Very nice. So what is that going to be a model for other stuff, that ability to, you know?
I hope it'll be a model for the county commission moving forward. What we've done then is we have reserves that are out there of about $45 million, and we've taken some of those for capital purchases that are one-time purchases. I think that's the appropriate use of reserves, but that we should not be using reserves for recurring expenses like we have for the last 4 years. So I think that's a huge accomplishment. I'm very excited about that. Another item I touched on briefly just a minute ago, Kelly, was the ATV ordinance change. So we'll be considering that ordinance change on August 22nd. So if that's important to any listeners out there, reach out to your county commissioner or plan to attend that meeting. And then, Kelly, I want to recognize the staff that we have at the county, in particular the road department, with all the rains and floodings and roads getting washed out and sinkholes opening. We've got a terrific group of about 28 people that do roads from Garfield down to Sunland Park and everywhere in between. And we've got a great group of people taking care of those roads and working very hard.
So give us an example of some of the stuff they're dealing with.
Sure. So we've got a set of roads over in Los Alturas that got completely washed out, about 4 inches of sand over on top of the road. Had a mailman get stuck in it, had to get those cleaned out. Over in up in Hatch, of course, we had some significant flooding that ended up with people being removed from their houses for safety and getting all of those roads built back up. When the rain starts, these guys start working. And so they activated the emergency center Saturday morning at about 1:53 in the morning, monitoring the situation, figuring out where they were going to go and how to take care of these roads as quickly as possible. And when you realize how many roads we have in this county and the fact that we've got 28 people taking care of those roads, we've got just a fantastic group of people.
So how many miles of roads do you, what's in the neighborhood? Because this county is bigger than Rhode Island, right?
The county is huge. And Kelly, normally I know that number, but I've drawn a blank.
If you had to guess, it's in the neighborhood of thousands of miles of road, right?
We've got a lot of miles of road. I'm not thinking of any numbers, and I don't feel like guessing poorly on that.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
But, you know, we've got a great group of people that do that. I want to recognize the emergency management group that also I talked about them activating and monitoring the situation and working on that. We really have a good group of people that work together with the Flood Commission and others. And so I know sometimes public employees get hit pretty hard, but I want your listeners to know we've got a great group.
All right. And speaking of, okay, this phone just started ringing, so call back. Missed your call, but we'll take you back up. All right. So, so saluting the road workers and what else?
Kelly, the last thing that I want to do
is... Here's our call.
Okay.
Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Edward, good morning to you. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
I always look at the issues that concerns the county, the Doniano County. I'd like to ask the commissioner, what happened is the spaceport, we are paying taxes for the spaceport.
Correct.
And they've been collecting money for years.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they get it going eventually, the person who's going to make money will be the Virgin Atlantic or Mr. Richard Branson, which is a billionaire that doesn't touch his own money. And the money that the people are going to pay $250,000 per flight are going to be going in his pocket. But my main concern is, if you research, there is 11 other spaceports being built as we speak in the United States of America. So there's a very slim chance that they are going to use the one in Doniana County. They're picking major cities like Denver. They're picking Brownsville, Texas, which is their number one choice, and Denver is number two. And there's Florida right by NASA. So I want to know, how can they keep collecting all this money from the taxpayers here where they're not doing anything about it? And we would be the last resort or choice for them, even if they ever start making those flights.
Well, Edward, you may remember, or I don't know if you were here or not, but about 10 years ago, a little bit more than that, 12 years ago, it was put to a public vote where every resident in every registered voter in Doñana County got a chance to vote and to decide whether or not they wanted to implement this tax. And that vote passed, albeit by a very thin margin. And so that's why we have the tax that's out there for approximately 20 years to pay off those bonds. That's not something that I can change on the county commission, because that was voted on by the public. Although I will tell you that the spaceport has been using excess gross receipts tax revenue to pay for operations. And that's something that I'm very opposed to, because what the vote was on building and construction. And that's what the voters voted on. They didn't vote to continue to run the operational side of it. That was supposed to be the state. And so I voted to stop that process, and Commissioner Solis has voted with me to stop that. Unfortunately, we were not in the majority, but I do hope that at some point we'll be able to stop spending those excess GRT dollars for operational expenses that are really the responsibility of the state.
Well, what I'm concerned, you know, like, I understand we're paying it, but there's a building sitting there collecting dust. And meanwhile, the taxpayers are paying for something that is like that bridge to, you know, nowhere in Alaska. It's a waste of taxpayers' money.
So, Edward, the question that you've got is, how do we get rid of this white elephant, right? Okay, thanks for the call. Good call. Ben, any ideas on that?
Well, you know, Kelly, I do want to point out that we do have some benefits over other spaceports out there. We have some protected airspace. There are things taking place up there. However, it certainly is not what the voters were promised when we were asked to vote on this over a decade ago. So I don't know that there's any good answer there. The building belongs to the state. I know at one point Senator Cotter was trying to get the state to sell it off, and I don't know if what the attitude is up in Santa Fe on that, but that's really going to be a Santa Fe decision, not a Doñana County decision. And I'd remind people that it's also in Sierra County.
Don't hold your breath, but we just got a picture from Kathy. You want to put your finger on that?
Yeah, we got to
blow it up there. Kathy says my washout.
She's got a washout. It looks like part of the road and underneath a fence of some sort there that the road is washed out. Kathy, I'm taking it you're listening. Is that a county road or a private road? If it's a county road, I'll certainly work to get the county road department out there very quickly.
I think it's in Hatch. What I find interesting is there's a gate, but no fence attached to it. So,
well, maybe the gate swung open. Maybe, Kelly, I don't know.
Can you throw a fence in with the deal?
Well, you know, we have had requests like that. I had one over in Picacho Peak, which is outside of my district, but people asking for maintenance on private roads. And people need to be aware that the county only maintains county roads. If you have a private road that you're on, you're responsible for maintaining that road up to standard.
SOL, friends. All right. So anything else?
That's all I have, Kelly.
Thanks for coming in, Ben. It's always a real treat.
Thank you.
And folks, we'll take a break for some local news. We're going to come back and talk about, I was talking about yesterday, the Pleistocene age and the animals that were alive during the Ice Age. I've got some exciting news for you, and it's more than the La Brea Tar Pits. We'll be right back. All right, so we were talking, and we have another phone call. Thanks for the call. Oops, that, I'm telling you, that line just lit up, so I don't know what's going on here. But, call back. I was talking, and we were, first of all, somebody asked about a jury of your peers. What does that mean? It doesn't mean exactly how it sounds, to the extent that they don't go out and look for people to be on a jury who are in the same profession as you or make the same amount of money as you. They're looking for people who are citizens that, these days, the joke is if you can get somebody to show up, that proves that they're not very smart and therefore you don't want them on your jury. But I mean, there are people who do do enjoy doing their part to serve the community, one of these parts is to serve through the jury. So it's a person, normally speaking, without a felony, who will show up to the jury and, you know, is competent and will listen to the case. I mean, that's a jury of your peers isn't really much bigger than that. Now, all right, so Pleistocene extinction debate. And so this is what I stumbled into. I was going to try to get some information about this elephant that we found here, that this kid tripped over the jaw of this elephant. Now they've dug it up and everything. I found a much bigger and more interesting thing going on. The Pleistocene era, or the, they just call it the Ice Age, went on for, it sounds like, and I got to do more research on this for you, but let's put it this way. It went on for a long time, and there were a lot of different animals in the United States than there is now. There were a couple of cheetahs that were bigger than the cheetahs that we have in Africa. There were saber-toothed cats, Smilodon, with the biggest teeth they've ever recorded in a cat. And they were big. These Smilodons were big animals. They had woolly mammoths. You know, they had the elephants and woolly mammoths and everything. So what they're trying to do is to rewild a part of Russia. And they want to do that to the United States, too. But here is a clip called Top-Down Regulation Putting Teeth into the Pleistocene Extinction Debate. Just think of the Ice Age when you hear Pleistocene.
When we think of the world's wild places, we often think of vast tundras and plains like the Serengeti, filled with as many herds as the land can feed. Many depict North America this way before the arrival of European settlers. Before the very first arrival of humans, the fossil record depicts a very different North America, populated by a very different group of animals. Compared to today's ecosystems, the Ice Age plains were much more diverse, particularly in large carnivores. It is possible that these large predators could have existed in higher numbers than they do today, a possibility that could have shaped the rest of the ecosystem, explaining why we have no ecosystem like this in the present. While animal herds today are usually limited by food, limitation by predators is by no means weak. They're more effective than humans, and it has been shown that combinations of predators, like wolves and bears, keep prey up to 5 times lower than where they hunt alone. So could immense herds have existed in the Pleistocene alongside lions, saber-tooths, and bears? The clues to this puzzle may be in their teeth.
All right, so then they put all these teeth on here, and let me just switch from this. Okay, so you are talking about a time in America when you had I'm just looking for the different animals. You had lions, you had tigers, you had cheetahs, you had different types of elephants. You had camels, horses, and bears, but in numbers that and the size of these critters, some of them are amazing. They had a giant armadillo. I think they called it the beautiful armadillo. This is something like 20,000 years ago. It's not really that long ago. All right, here's a clip called the Pleistocene Park: Born to Rewild. Here's the theory. If you have enough animals like buffalo and these type of things on the tundra, they will change the tundra into a plain. I think that's one of the ideas. And then bring all these animals back. And there's also a fight right now, or they're in the middle of it, trying to reanimate extinct animals. And the first one they're trying to do is a woolly mammoth. But they also want to do cave lions. You study these extinct animals, it's just absolutely stunning, the variety.
Frozen Arctic soil, called permafrost, holds more than a trillion tons of carbon.
As the dirt thaws, that carbon escapes as greenhouse gases. Scientists say this melting could supercharge global warming.
I see only one way. It's necessary to mitigate melting of permafrost.
Sergei Zimov has been studying the...
He said, I see only one way. It's necessary to migrate the permafrost.
Permafrost for decades. To stop the permafrost.
Permafrost is the permanently frozen ground that's up in Alaska and in Russia. And the top might thaw, but underneath it's always frozen.
Frost from thawing. He has a radical notion to recreate the Arctic of 30,000 years ago.
In Pleistocene, there was millions and millions of herbivores.
In the Pleistocene era, there were millions and millions of herbivores. So these are animals that are not carnivores. They are animals that are like horses, reindeer, elephants, bison. And they had different kinds of animal. They had a what's called a bush bison or a bush ox in America. They had a couple of different. And some of these things are so massive you can't believe it.
Which eats this grass all winter. Winter here is very long.
They eat the grass all winter.
Zimov's goal was to transform mossy tundra and forest like this into grassland.
So 18 years ago here was like the place we've just been in. Now, well, you see that the dominance is grass?
They are recreating the mammoth steppe ecosystem that once dominated the high latitudes.
The first experiments...
You can't really understand what this guy's saying, so I want to move on to another clip. Let's take a break first, but what you've got is an attempt to recreate what used to be, say, 20,000 years ago, and they're supposedly fighting against global warming while they're doing it as well. In the midst of this, the scientists are working on reanimating, bringing back from extinction animals that only have existed in drawings and books and in fossils. And in some cases, mummified carcasses found in permafrost or in ice or even in glaciers.
Americana got the sleepy eye.
You know, you could spend weeks talking about this, but I just wanted to give you a little introduction. Rewilding the health people in politics. Here's rewilding that idea. And this is from D.W. English.
When Keeper Detlef Baumung calls them, it doesn't take long before the new residents of the Döberitz Heath all come running. The Przewalski horses, a wild breed native to Mongolia, arrive first. They're followed by European bison, wild and shy creatures from the same family as domestic cattle. But like the wild horses, they're voracious eaters and adapted to life in the wilderness.
They're very robust, very tough. Unlike domestic cattle, they can spend the entire year outdoors without needing shelter or extra food. They get along splendidly with the food available here in the heath. They're ideal partners for us when it comes to landscape preservation.
The Döberitz Heath is located just a few kilometers from Berlin, not far from Tegel Airport. For over a century, military exercises were conducted here, first by Prussian soldiers and later by occupying Soviet troops. Now the Zielmann Foundation has turned the 2,000-hectare military training ground into a nature preserve.
All right, so what they're trying to do, we don't have enough time to go through all of this. They're trying to bring back old Europe, old North America, old Russia through animals, and it is... I don't know. It's pretty fascinating. All right. So here's Russia scientists try to recreate the Ice Age. One of the things they're trying to bring back is the Auroch, which was a giant cattle that was painted by cave people. Doesn't exist anymore, but it was a predecessor of the modern cow. and they're trying to breed back up to it. And they said it was the size of an elephant. Check this out, though. Russian scientists recreating Ice Age.
Could these musk oxen help save the planet? They may be just a handful in an enclosure nibbling hay provided by a herdsman in remote Siberia now. But a Russian scientist believes they could help slow global warming if they're reintroduced into the wild, along with Yakutian horses, moose, and reindeer, and later adding in bison and deer as well. Predators, including Siberian tigers and wolves, would follow. Scientist Sergei Zimov may be starting small, but his project is ambitious, to recreate an ecosystem that disappeared 10,000 years ago with the end of the Ice Age.
Horses, muskox, reindeer will break the bushes. They will eat them. They'll fertilize the soil. The grass will begin to grow. Then most of the trees will dry up, and there will be here meadowlands of steppe vegetation.
According to Zimov, tall grasses with complex root systems will stabilize the frozen soil, and the animals themselves will flatten the snow that otherwise would insulate the ground from cold air. This would all help slow the current thawing of the Arctic permafrost. His experiment is being watched with interest, not only by climate scientists, but also by paleontologists and others who have an interest in returning creatures to their native environment, a process called rewilding. In London, Adrian Lister at the Natural History Museum thinks the theory has merit, though he notes not all Ice Age creatures can be brought back.
Although we're getting DNA out of fossil mammoth bones, it's very fragmented. It's been eroded through time. And so it's not really complete enough to clone a baby mammoth, unfortunately.
Well, they've already got mammoth that they're trying to make here. So here is trying to see what else we can squeeze in here. Here's one more. Ice Age lion being cloned by scientists. Think about that. It's a cave lion. You ever heard of that?
Scientists from South Korea and Russia want to clone an extinct cave lion using DNA from the frozen remains of Ice Age cubs. The two 12,000-year-old lion cubs were found almost perfectly preserved in Russia's Sakha Republic. That's in the north of Russia. So they were preserved thanks to the permanently low temperatures in this region. As you know, northern Russia is very cold, Joya.
Yeah.
They found them back in August 2015, and like I said, they were basically fully preserved. I mean, if you look at an image of it, it's remarkable. You'd never think that this is 12,500 years old, for example, right? It looks like it's been in the freezer for like 3 years.
Absolutely. I mean, I think something like this is fascinating. I think being able to understand our history, figure out what these species were like, and especially to have something like this be alive. And
all right, so what they're going for is somewhat outrageous. They want to return animals to the permafrost regions, which covers a large percentage of Alaska in Russia. These animals to start eating and moving around and tearing down bushes and trees, and they'll return a grassland eventually to these areas, which will fight against global warming. That's the theory. We'll take another break here. Be right back. AM Las Cruces 523-1450. A few of the mammal, here's the animals that were found in the La Brea tar pits: pronghorn, ancient bison, giant bison, American camel, dwarf pronghorn, wapiti, shrub ox, still-legged llama, mule deer, sheep, peccary. That's just the herb eaters. Carnivores, short-faced bear, ring-tailed cat, dire wolf, dog, Pleistocene coyote, gray wolf, scimitar cat, bobcat, striped skunk, American cheetah, long-tailed weasel, American lion, Pleistocene North American jaguar, raccoon, cougar, gray fox, American black bear, grizzly bear, saber-toothed cat, Western spotted skunk, American badger. That's just some of the animals found in there. Here's another one. Unbelievable. This isn't found there, but Oncorhynchus rastorosus. What is it? saber-toothed salmon. It was 9 feet long. An extinct species of salmon that lived along the Pacific coast of North America appeared in the Miocene of California, dying out during the Pleistocene era. Adults grew to be up to 9 feet, believed to have been Andronomous, like their relatives, related to, similar to, looking like Pacific salmon, except they had saber teeth. They had a couple of small fangs protruding from the snout, and they're 9 feet long. Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Here's Schiff's Riffs, The Life of a Dog. Speaking of animals.
Hi, this is Mark Schiff, and I want to talk to you about dogs. Dogs are the best. I've been a dog owner.
He's holding a giant dog while he's saying this, too. The dog's looking around, totally confused.
My whole life. I mean, I love dogs. They love me. Dogs have unconditional love. I mean, when I walk in the house, the dog's like, hey, man, he's back. I can't believe it. You were gone for 9 seconds, and there you are again. My kids could care less. My wife, I walk in, the kids is texting. The other kid's on the computer. The other one's watching TV. The wife is making matzo meal. No one cares. And when I leave the house, if I just leave the house for 9 seconds, and I realize I forget something, and I come back, the dog is like, where you been? I missed you. I can't believe it. I was going crazy for 9 seconds without you. Also, dogs, my dog thinks that I'm a genius. I just wish to God that I was half the man my dog thinks I am. I can take an empty coffee cup, right, show it to him, and he thinks I'm David Copperfield. I just stick my arm in the closet with it, come out with a whole cup of food. He's like, wow, the guy's a genius. I can't believe it. And then a free kiss. And even going out in the street, man, they think I'm like unbelievable. I'm like the warden. I go, you ready? You want to go out? And to dogs, the whole world is nothing but one big toilet. I take the dog. I can take him to Y. He's like, oh, I'm going to go here. I take him to Spain. Oh, I'm going to go here. It's unbelievable. And they have a law now. They have this pooper scoop law that if you don't clean up after your dog, they charge you like $500. What does this depend on? The amount the dog leaves? Can you imagine you're walking the dog, the cop comes over and goes, let me see that. Oh, a Great Dane? That's $480 worth. A Chihuahua? Get out of here. It's on the house. Anyway, this is Mark Schiff, the Schiff's Riffs, and I love you so much, and I love dogs, and I'll see you next time.
Schiff's Riffs. This guy's a genius. All right, we talked about trannies no longer in the military. We talked about Obamacare. We talked with Ben Rawson. And finally, the Pleistocene animals that we're missing. I want to see a 9-foot salmon. How about you? Kelly O'Connell, Amos Cruz. See you back in 22 hours. Ciao.